Hello, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are going to do our weekly Q&A. I'm going to do a quick announcement, and then we will get started. First announcement is don't freak out if you're watching my social and you see that there is a free challenge happening for the public. Guys, you do not need to be in it. It is it's what we always do before we have an opening. So our next opening, when you're going to see loads and loads of new members coming in, what we call our babies, will be March 31st. So next week, I'm going to be taking all of those people through a challenge. They're not getting anything you guys don't already have doubled down on. So I would encourage you guys to watch No BS versus joining the challenge. If you want to, and it won't overwhelm you, that's your choice. But I will just promise all of you, it just is, I'm basically going over the four basics. I'm going over the things that you guys have inside of No BS that are explained and broken down in a much simpler format. So don't feel like you need to join the challenge, but feel free to tell your friends, get them involved. If you see it on my social and you want to share it on your pages and all that kind of stuff, we would love to have you doing that so that we can get more people losing their mental weight instead of just trying to figure out how to deprive themselves to lose some physical weight. The only other thing is don't forget that camp registration's open. I sent the workbook off yesterday to the printer. Number one, I always love ordering the workbook because I like the lush paper. I always make sure our workbooks are on that nice thick paper that when you're writing, you have an amazing experience. I'm very particular. If y'all don't know, I am the world's biggest pen and paper snob. Even when I was a little kid, I promise you guys, like the highlight of my life was going to like a Target or somewhere and perusing the school supply aisle. Like I even went to Walgreens yesterday to get a prescription filled, and I swung through the school supply aisle. I'll shit you not. And I bought some really pretty tab dividers for my binder. Like I've always been a geek out on that stuff. So the workbook is off. It is the self-sabotage camp. It is not going to disappoint. Kathy was reading it and proofing it, and she sent me a message and just said, holy shit, Corinne. Like, I am entranced. And she said, I'm doing the worksheets. She just was like, it's going to be so good. It's really going to help all of us with self-sabotage. I learned a lot about my own self-sabotage just going through it for you guys. So we have a few spots left. Y'all, I got to get this thing. Sorry, I got to get it. Well, that's not going to work. All right, I got to figure out how I'm going to do today because, well, we're just going to have to see the cord all day. If it goes behind me, I'm going to get my headset ripped off. But the camp is going to be amazing. We have limited spots left for in-person. If you are coming in person, you just need to be vaccinated. As soon as you're vaccinated, make sure that you get registered and that you send in your, if you're doing a two-dose shot, you need to have your second dose done. If you're a one-shot, then you can just send in that vaccination record. And I would like to let everybody know that as of 10:40 today, I will have my first dose. I'm so excited. My boys have already gotten their first dose. I had to wait in line a little bit longer, but today I go and get my first dose, and I'm just beyond thrilled. Like I just told Chris, I said, I don't think I've ever been this happy to go get a shot in my life. So, all right, let us get to the questions. And we had some good ones this week. So what we do is we go through the Facebook group and we go through Ask Coaches. And we look at some of the most repeated questions and we pull those together so that we are covering the things that you guys are most wanting help with. Number one, starting my day with, can I just leave a few bites behind? Good stuff. Good Lord. If anyone could read my thoughts this morning. I made a just crack an egg bowl cup, which I would normally have with toast or in a tortilla. This time I thought, let's just try it alone. Then I put about a cup of fresh pineapple by my plate because years of dieting told me somewhere that I have to have fruit in the mornings. I sat down and took my time with my egg bowl. And you know what? I was good without eating the pineapple. I struggle so much with leaving behind what my brain says is healthy food. Just like my salads. It's grilled chicken and lettuce. I should be able to eat a shit ton of that stuff. Can you please help this mindset shift? Okay, so here's what I want to say. It's already working. I think a lot of times this is what I notice you guys do is that you start seeing progress. You start trying things. It's like, oh, I could leave behind my pineapple. Oh, these things. just because like you have some enlightenment and you notice things doesn't mean your old thoughts aren't going to keep coming up. You don't really need the thought, what is it? I should be able to eat a shit ton of chicken and lettuce. None of you need those types of thoughts to go away. What you only really need is to be like, and that's a thought I'm working on. Like, that's something I've been thinking all my life, and I'm starting to prove to myself it's not true. That's all that needs to happen. Like, we don't need to, like, come up with a miracle new thought that every time we eat a salad, that's the only one that we think of and stuff. We literally just need to start recognizing when the shift is happening. So, like, for you, what ended up happening was you, like, well, okay, today I'm going to try this. I know that I think I should be able to eat a lot of this stuff, but I just want to try. I just want to see what happens. She took her time. She didn't stress how it should go. None of that stuff. And then what ended up happening was she noticed she could leave a little bit behind. She's like, wow, that's different. But then her brain is like, yeah, but we really need to work on the next level. Like, I think sometimes we just have this, it's like we have a hard time believing that we're changing. So one of the things that happens in self-sabotage that I like studied for camp is if your brain is used to doubting you and stuff or used to not believing in you, it won't get overly excited about the small changes. So in this situation, what you want to do is be like, I am really changing. Like, this is really happening. Look, I tried it. This happened. Now all I know is that my brain's going to keep asking for it. And guess what? All I need to do is keep telling my brain, this is working. This is working. I know we think we should be able to eat all this, but we're learning. We don't have to. We're just learning that this is part of what I always thought. So that frees us from having to have thoughts stop in order for us to believe in ourselves, in order for us to take action, in order for us to be excited, in order for us to be motivated and stuff. When your old thinking just becomes sentences, they lose emotional power over you, which means once they've lost their emotional power of you just believing them and feeling them and stuff, it means they can just happen. But your brain also has this other collection of things that are going on where you're focusing your emotional energy on. So I just thought that was a really good question. And I thought it would be very helpful for a lot of you. Number two, hang on a second. I've been working on No BS for a few weeks now and love the plan and the thought work that goes with it. So this is someone who's new. So I just want to give a shout out to all of our newbies. We have people, if you don't know how the membership works now, if you take the free course for the first time, you get a special invitation to join the membership that lasts for 5 days. If you decide not to join within 5 days, you move into people that have to wait for something like our big March opening, or our next one will be in August. But if you join during the 5 days, you start. So this lesson that you're listening to, this is a live Q&A that will also be put into replays, which means you do not have to listen to this until you have finished No BS. This is not something you feel like you need to be doing. Every single week I do Q&As, and every single week we have new content. So any of the live stuff and the replays, they are always there for you, just like library, like books in the library. Anytime that you have something you want to listen to or something that you want to check out or whatever, they'll be there for you after, or you can go and be a little bit more selective about the things you're working on, and you can go and do that. So she's brand new. She's been working the No BS for a few weeks and loves the plan and the thought work that goes with it. I'm discovering a lot of sneaky thoughts in my brain about eating. Here's one of the situations in which I find myself. My partner does most of the cooking in my household, which means that I don't always have control over what's for dinner. I was all set to stay on my plan when my partner plated up a dish that they had made that was not on my plan. I did not want to offend them by saying no. They would have been upset at the waste of food, as it was something that would not necessarily taste good the next day. I always love how when our partners think that they know whether or not we can enjoy something the next day or not. And I always love it when we just decide that the next day it can't be enjoyed. I'm like, I've been eating like Some of y'all must never been as broke as I was, because let me just tell you, we ate pizza that was a week old. You get to decide if you're going to enjoy it. You can sit there and think, well, it's not as good as it is fresh. Or you can sit there and think, I'm so glad I have leftovers. That meant last night I didn't overeat. It might not taste as good, but my goals and success taste fucking awesome. Like, we always can enjoy if we want to enjoy. All right. So I ate that food, and then I felt bad for eating off plan. Then went on to eat some cookies. Because, hell, they weren't on my plan. I'm wondering if you can give me some advice on how to deal with this issue. Yes. So here's the first thing that I will say is you always have control over what's for dinner. You may not know the actual food that will be served to you, but you always have control over a few things. Your hand and your mouth. Those things are the only two things we need to have control over. The rest of it is what I call nice to have. It's great when we know what we have available to where we can buy. I'm going to decide ahead of time. I'm going to eat these things. I'm going to plan for my best self. I'm going to do all the things. That's amazing. But guess what? There's fucking life that happens. And if you're going to sit there and be like, oh my God, I have no control over what's being served versus I got exactly what I need. If somebody dishes me up mashed potatoes and meatloaf, I still can sit there and be like, I bet you I can eat till enough. Can I just eat till enough? All of you, please hear the fucking words coming out of my mouth. The reason why we're overweight is not because of the stuff on your plate. It's how much you stuff in your mouth of what's on your plate. That's like if there was a golden rule for all of us, it's really that one. So you always have control. Stop lying to yourselves. Even if you bend your face off at a buffet for 4 hours, at some point you stop eating because you take control and say, like, had enough. Made a decision. It is the ultimate lie when we sit around and telling ourselves that we do not have control. It makes us feel helpless. And very often y'all hear that, like, no, I really don't have control. Like, you'll go argue with me all the reasons why you don't have control. And I want you to listen to yourselves. Why would you ever argue with me? Be like, no, let me prove to you all the ways I don't have control. So I can feel extra less than. So I get to feel extra helpless. If you want to do something, start arguing for why you do have control. Just like, I actually do have control. It's just sometimes I wait a long time before I take control. Sometimes I tell myself I don't have control, but at the end of the day, I stop putting my hand to my mouth. So I guess I've got control somewhere. So it's like you have to open the door to the idea that you are always the one in control. If you do not do that, you will always feel helpless. You will never use words like, can I just? One of the things that I want you guys to hear is, you know, just like the only reason why she ate two cookies is because at one point, at that moment when she saw that her partner brought her food that wasn't on her plan, she immediately went to, I can't control this. And then when her brain thinks I can't control this, guess what it stops doing? It's like, well, we might as well just eat. I mean, we've already fucked up. That's a line of thinking. That is not the truth. The truth is your partner brought you some food. In that moment, you had the option to say, this wasn't on my plan. But here's where I still have control. I still can honor myself by eating to enough. I can afterward process this as an off-plan eat and shower myself with praise for having an off-plan eat that I didn't put on my plan and really exercising total control over how much I ate. I also can figure out ways to work with my partner on letting them know here's this plan I'm working on. It would be easier for me if I knew what we were going to be eating. But you know what? Sometimes I might not know. And I'm learning how to have my own back through all of it. That's also a truth. That's also another line of thinking. All of you, there will never be a need for feeling bad that you went off plan. There's always the need from feeling curious about it. What happened? What did I allow myself to think? Why did I break my plan? If you break your plan, like if Chris brought something in today, like tonight, let's say that I planned a salad and I was relying on Chris to go get it. And when he went to go get the salad, he thought nachos looked better. And he brings home nachos. I would not sit there and be like, he brought nachos. That wasn't on my plan. I guess I'm just going to go ahead and eat them because I don't get them very often and I've already fucked up. I would not be doing that. I would just like, all right, we didn't plan for this. I'm going to eat to enough. I'm going to talk to Chris. I'm going to say like, hey, it'd be really helpful for me that when I ask for a chicken salad, that I get a chicken salad. Like I'm not making it a big deal out of between the two of us. I might even just go and ask, like, hey, I thought I said chicken salad. Was there a reason why you brought home nachos? I would just be curious. I'd want to probe to figure it out. If he said something like, well, you know, I've just seen you working so hard and I thought you deserved it, blah, blah. I would just look at him and say, like, I so appreciate you noticing how hard I've been working. Just in the future, you can just tell me that. That's so lush. And I'm really working on not rewarding all my hard work with food anymore. So often what we do is we just get so caught up that we're failing and that we fucked up and that we'll never be able to lose weight and all this other stuff. It's like what ends up happening is we don't really learn how to talk to ourselves, how to talk to others, how to make the most of the situation. What can I do in this situation? Because this is where I think it happens is, you know, partners bring us food that we didn't plan. Parents bring us food that we didn't plan. Somebody brings us food we didn't plan. And we immediately go to what we can't do now. Our brain goes into, well, see, I can't eat what's on my plan and I'm not going to be able to lose weight. Like we go into I can't mode. The challenge is to learn how to say like, but what can I do? If you catch yourself in I can't, switch it real quick to, all right, what's in my control and what can I do? When you put yourself into that energy, you start feeling more empowered. You start feeling more possibility. You start getting creative about what you can do. And then you do from that action or from that mindset. If anybody's wondering, we have a like this protein smoothie shake place down the street. Wednesdays are my notorious days where I go to y'all and I don't stop for a long, long time, like late in the afternoon. Today being one of them, my sweet ass husband went and got me one this morning. I woke him up at 6:30 and said, I'm going out for my run. Then I got to do this and I got to do that. I was like, I won't get to eat unless you go get me a shake. If anybody's wondering what I'm drinking, Mr. Crabtree went and got me a shake. He's so sweet. All right. I went through the self-sabotage course again, but it doesn't help me with my thoughts on getting below 200. Let's say this, all right? Rather than saying it doesn't help me with it, say I notice I'm still having thoughts around 200. Notice how like we just want to, like guys, I am such the police on how we word things. We want to always make sure that we're not talking in a way that shuts our brain down. All right. So she says, I'm close to 200 and the number seems to be scaring me. What do you recommend? Of course, I'm going to self-sabotage camp, but what can I do now? This is a good one. So notice how when we think this is not helping me with my thoughts to get below 200, I'm still scared. What ends up happening? We don't think of, well, what are the thoughts? We're just like, this is not helping. We always have to watch out for that kind of language. Guys, whenever you take a course, whenever you listen to a lesson, if you listen to a Facebook Live, do not sit there and go like, well, this isn't helping. Like, my shit's still coming up. Always say, my shit's still coming up. How can I help myself? If I had to guess why my shit is still coming up, what would I do? I really want to teach you guys that stuff before I just give you things, because I will give you some help on stuff. But it's really important that while you're a no BS woman, and God love you, stay as long as you want. But my goal is to make sure that the day you lose all your weight, and a lot of you hang out for a few months after, but we've had several people recently who have posted who are graduating out. They're just like, I've lost all my weight. I stayed around an extra 6 months and stuff to just get it locked in, but I really feel like it's my time to fly my, you know, spread my no BS wings. And those are my most proud moments. And my goal is to make sure that when you're ready to graduate, that you know how to think for yourself. If I am always giving you the answers, then you have to always be here in order to keep your weight off. If you want to be a lifer, I think that's awesome, but I don't want anybody to ever be a lifer because I haven't done my work on teaching you how to think for yourself. So, and this one is a really good example. Watch your language. Watch how you talk about it. Always tell yourself, I bet I could figure it out. Let me just take some guesses as to why I'm still feeling scared about getting under 200. Even if you come, like, I would love for you to come and say, like, I took some guesses, not sure if that's the right ones. What do you think? Here were some of the things that I guessed at. We get so much more traction there. But I will just tell you, here's where you're going to start your work. So you wanted to know, what can I do now between now and camp? Number one is, why do you feel scared getting under 200? Like, write in your journal about getting under 200 is scary because, and then write and give yourself at least 10 reasons. I like to pick numbers like 10 and 20, which seems like a lot for a lot of you, but what it does is it makes your brain come up with some bullshit reasons. And sometimes in the bullshit, you'll be like, ooh, that does feel really true. It just bypasses your brain of coming up with like one or two and not thinking anymore. Every one of you, this is what you're going to learn in camp. You've got 60,000 thoughts every single day, and you only hear 5% of them. That means that 57,000 unconscious thoughts go through your brain at all times. That's a lot of thinking that we're not catching. And the only way to really get into the unconscious thinking is to do some writing like, all right, I notice I'm feeling scared. For a lot of you, it's easier to catch yourself feeling a certain way, which is a one-word emotion, than it is to identify the thought that's creating it. So when you fit, like when you catch a thought, I mean a feeling, it's like it seems like I really shouldn't be scared to get under 200, which makes sense, right? You would think we would be excited. For some people, it's like, I can't wait to get there. But sometimes some of us are like, gah, if I get underneath 200, like once I get under 200, I'm probably going to have to change a lot of things. That's a common thought. If I get under 200, like I've never been there before. And every time that you can even remember being under 200, like you started eating or something happened. And so all you remember is that once you got under 200, you lost your enthusiasm. So knowing those things is super helpful. So that's the first thing you do is you find what is so scary. I'm scared of getting under 200 because I'm making that mean I'll have to really up my game. And if that is a thought, then all you got to do is like, all right, so what does really upping my game mean? And then list out like, what do I think is going to happen? Then you go and question, it's like, really? Are we really going to have to do all those things? Or is that just something that we keep thinking and we're not even questioning? And you ask yourself stuff like, what else could be true? So that's how you break that down. So the simple answer is, when you guys notice that you feel scared And it doesn't seem like it should fit with what like is fixing to happen. Like getting into Wonderland, which means getting under 200 for all of you who don't know, like getting to Wonderland, you're like, I probably shouldn't be scared of that. So I wonder what's going on in my brain. Something in there is happening. And you write and you write and you write. And it may take a few days of writing it. Then eventually you'll be like, I see. If all of this is going on underneath the radar, it's no wonder I'm scared. And if I'm scared, I'm probably going to prevent trying to get there, which means I will probably start grab ass eating a little bit. I may take my foot off the gas on making plans so that I don't have to feel scared about getting under 200. Now I get to feel stalled, plateaued, frustrated. Most humans will choose frustration and the excitement of trying and then backing off. Most people will choose that over being scared. Human brain is crazy. It don't want to be scared. All right. I am improving my binge behavior and believe intuitive eating is the answer. I am struggling with the thought that planning my foods is not practicing intuitive eating because if I change what I want to eat, then I'm off plan and then feel bad about eating off plan. All right. Here's the thing about off plan eating, guys. Y'all keep talking about it as if I just feel bad. Like I have nothing to do with it. I eat off plan equals I must feel bad. Y'all, your feelings are optional. Why? Because your thoughts are optional. So if you notice that when you eat off plan that you feel bad, you need to figure out what do I tell myself about eating off plan? That's what causes bad feelings. It's not the action of eating off plan. So that's number one. So if while you're figuring things out and you eat off plan, if you want to feel curious, insightful, aware, proud, whatever it is, you get to feel that. So let's say you do eat off plan. You could also feel proud by saying this. I'm so proud of myself for recognizing it and being willing to strategize on it. Could think about it like that. Or we could just sit there and just be like, oh, I feel bad. It's so terrible. I'm screwing up. Y'all keep forgetting that shit don't have to feel bad all the time. You get the option. These thoughts are creating negative feelings. Of course they are, because you feel like shit. I'm working on believing that off-plan eating is not bad if my reasons for doing so are good. Yeah, I teach you that in actually the no BS, guys. I am always telling you all of you this. This is your weight loss journey. This is not Corinne's. The reason why I want you guys eating, but like we want to make a plan ahead of time, it's to make it easier on ourselves. It is to figure out how can I put foods on my plan today that I'm going to enjoy, that are going to get me closer to my goal, that make my life easier, that take care of me, that meets me where I am right now? If you start thinking of food along those lines, that is a pattern that we want to be duplicating every single day. For some of you, guess what some people do? They make a plan and like, if they know they like options, and I do this sometimes, I will put like 3 dinner options down. Just pick one, Corinne, when you get there. Just pick one of these 3. 3 things you love. You know why I do that? Because I think that I can make planning work for me. I don't sit around and think that I can't make planning work for me. And here's my 10 list of reasons why. Now let me go try to make a plan, which is what a lot of you do. Planning ahead of time by making our doable 24-hour plan works literally for everyone. If you are in the mindset of, I'm going to figure out how to make this work for me. I give everybody a basic template of how to do it. Your job is to figure out what your best basic template is by making a few tweaks to what I teach you.
Some of you are just like, Corinne, what you made, gold. And a lot of you will feel that way. Because my job was to figure out a way to be able to teach you guys how to lose weight that works for almost every person. And then some of you will want to make it a little unique for you. And you will want to make a few changes to it so that you feel like it's in line with how you want to live. That's what I want to teach you. Not just to follow my four basics because I said so. That would be me being no different than anybody else in the diet industry. I want to teach you, like, here's what I think is the best template. But the ultimate template is always going to be what's going to help you be the best version of you. What's going to help you be successful now? And you might tweak your template as you go along, and you may not. But I want you thinking about how you're caring for yourself at all times, how you are figuring yourself out without feeling like you can't do it because you've always been told you're not good enough. Those days are done. So a couple of other things on this one is I'm working on believing that all plant eating is not bad if my reasons for doing so are good. Yeah. So when, like, I always, anytime I have an all plant eat, I never think it's bad. Ever. I think it happened. There's a reason for it. I want to check my reasons. If I like my reasons, there's nothing to fix here. If I don't like my reasons, it's not because it's bad, and it's not because I'm bad or a failure. It's like, if I don't like my reasons, those are reasons I don't want to keep practicing and make habits out of them. So I want to learn from them. I want to think about, what are other ways that I could be thinking? What are other things I can do next time? Who can I reach out to? Who could I ask for help on problem solving this? That's how I want to think about it. But no off-plan eat is bad, ever. It just happened. That's a big difference. I also struggle with thoughts that restriction equals deprivation. No. And that usually ends up in binge behavior. Restriction does not equal deprivation. Restriction means I am going to limit these things because it's good for me. Just like I limit myself to like 3 glasses of wine. And if you'd rather call it limit than restriction because you're too loaded with like doo-doo thoughts, then don't call it restriction. Say, here's some of the like healthy parameters I'm putting in place. Here are some of the limits that I give myself because I know at the end of the day, if I go over these, I just don't feel my best and I'm tired of not feeling my best. I'm tired of not feeling good. But in life, guys, we are always practicing restrictions. Just like right now, you probably have restricted yourself from your main newsfeed because you're paying attention, but nobody's going like, oh my God, I'm so deprived from my newsfeed. Deprivation, I want all of you to actually like really think about what deprivation is. I think a lot of us have this idea that like we, especially when it comes to the diet industry, we throw the term deprivation around like it's candy. Deprivation is what happens in like third world countries. You not being able to eat ice cream every night is not deprivation. Sometimes we have to gut check ourselves and remind ourselves, like, when I'm sitting here and I'm feeling deprived or I'm thinking I'm being deprived and all this other stuff, I need to remind myself that's not really what's happening right now. What's really happening is I'm not having ice cream. I may feel deprived, but that's because of the way I'm thinking about it. But it's not because I am. Those are things that we need to make sure that we're remembering because that's how we start breaking the tie between like true deprivation. To remind ourselves, like if I don't get to eat sheet cake, I'm not being deprived. So many of us will use those terms all the time around bullshit. And it's like, just say, hey, not having sheet cake right now, I may want it. I may be craving it. I may like have all the urges and it may feel like shit, but I'm for sure not being deprived. At the end of the day, we need shelter and water. You could go a month without food if you have shelter and water. So I always like to just kind of break it down that way. What it does for me, that may not work for all of you, but what it does for me is it makes me realize like, I'm just really wanting it. And that's okay. And I will be with the want and I will work on my want and stuff. But, you know, deprivation is like what my imagination likes to tell me just to get me to eat. Somebody said, we don't have a constitutional right to cheesecake. That's hilarious. But it is true. You know, I mean, sometimes the way that we talk around food, you know, if we let someone from who are going through tough times in their life read it, they would just be like, what? And for me, like, I remember when I was little, like, when we legit didn't have food, like, legit, like, I remember being hungry. I remember eating mayonnaise sandwiches. We used to call them condiment sandwiches. My mama ate mustard sandwiches. I ate mayonnaise sandwiches. We didn't have meat, cheese, or anything. We had bread and condiments. And I remember like those days. And these days when I feel like I'm basically whining to myself about what I can't have or whatever. And I do the same thing. I always go back and I just think about those moments when I'm like, that little girl, she was deprived. So what this grown-ass woman is going through is just, I just want it. And I'm unlearning that part. And I may have emotional needs right now, but for years I've ate over it. And I know that if I pull the deprivation trigger, that's what gets me there. That's what my habit brain knows. But it's not true. I'm not deprived. True deprivation is me continuing to eat, not figuring out my life, and feeling better about myself. We won't talk about deprivation. I'm tired of depriving myself of feeling the way I want to actually feel every single day because I keep turning to food and being left with a pool of just regret and shame. That's deprivation if we want to get down to it. We called them plain sandwiches. Rhonda, y'all just wanted them. I can remember, like, just, girl, I think that's why I love meat to this day and protein, because we had so little of it when I was little. But I could just remember just wanting meat, like, just wishing we had some bologna. I was journaling this morning and would love some fresh perspective on the concepts of I'm right where I need to be. This was my favorite question. This was my favorite. And it all happened exactly as it was supposed to. Okay. I'm just going to say, I know that I come from the life coach school. And, you know, a lot of my coaches went to the life coach school and stuff. It happened the way it was supposed to be. And I'm exactly where I'm right where I need to be. And it all happened exactly as it was supposed to. She says, my brain fights these two thoughts tooth and nail. And they are definitely beliefs that I tell myself I should need to believe, but I'm just not buying it. I will just tell you, my brain does not like those thoughts either. It's two of my least favorite thoughts. I will tell you, every now and then, those thoughts help me, but it's far and few between. So for some of you, that great traction. They help you really challenge yourself and like think about like what you could be getting out of it. For a lot of us, it's called a fucking stretch of the imagination. And when we're dealing with something painful, we do want to stretch our imagination. But the problem is that when we're really dug into a thought and it's a belief, what we need more is to learn how to feel what we're feeling in the moment and turn to compassion for where we are, and then wiggle our way out of our thoughts. Start opening the door up to new thinking. It's like sometimes, so like when you guys first join, when we teach you the think, feel, do cycle, there's a lot of what we call thought swapping that happens. So many of us have always thought we just have to think the way we think all the time. And then I tell you things like, can I just? And, you know, what if you thought about it this way? Blah, 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 blah. And we do a lot of, we could be thinking. And you start immediately feeling better. You're like, what? Like, my thoughts are optional. I don't have to think this way. I've never been told I could think this way. And that right there gets so many of us feeling 100 times better. And we get a lot of weight off that way, all kinds of stuff. The next thing that happens is we start basically teaching you guys to go from like you'll try to thought swap and you'll run into things and be like, ooh, like this one's a little tougher. My old thought just keeps on coming back and it keeps on coming back and I keep trying on my new thought, but I'm noticing it's really hard to let go of that old one. That's when we do what's called laddering or just leveling up your thinking. It's where it's like, we're going to take a thought like eating off plan is bad. Like I ate off plan, that's bad. To I ate off plan and I'm learning how to not think about it like it's bad. Or I ate off plan and even though I think it's bad, I can also learn from it. That's like a ladder thought. Like that is where we're just basically shifting your thinking just a little to get you out of just your old story into the next most believable step, right? So we do a lot of that stuff. And that is super helpful. But then what we do is we get into this place where we really want to start like understanding how we feel. It's like, I feel bad today, and I know it's my thinking. I'm not ready to change it, and I'm okay with feeling bad. It's like where we agree with our feeling, and when we agree with our feeling and we're really allowing ourselves to feel it, which is in module 2 of No BS, it's called the now process, and you do that enough where you body scan it and stuff, you get to where you don't need to change your thinking all the time in order to feel good. You get to where you can feel your feelings and understand what thought is causing it and then go on with life. And when you choose to feel your feelings on purpose, you no longer eat over them. Feeling your feelings doesn't have numbing out on the couch with chips as the action, as the doing line. Feeling your feelings has you like maybe having a good cry. When you are like exhausted and overwhelmed, feeling your feelings has you take a nap instead of eating to keep going, to escape from feeling tired and overwhelmed. So I really wanted to say that because I think what happens sometimes is with that thought of I'm right where I'm supposed to be. When you have a situation that's hard to kind of see that, I would suggest don't use that thought yet. Maybe one day, but it's a not today. Here's where I'm at today. Here's what I'm thinking. This is why I'm feeling the way I am. For a lot of you, is that next step. You may not be able to get to the point of where all the other stuff just yet. And that's okay. And as coaches, it's helpful with like a lot of times you'll hear us offer that to you. Could you think this? If you were thinking this, what would you be feeling and doing? Like we want to paint the picture of what life would look like. We also want to say like, if this is where you're supposed to be, you know, tell me why. A lot of times just the exploration of that helps you see your story in a new light. It doesn't mean you have to all of a sudden believe all that's true, but it allows your brain to go to work on what else could be true. That's where the power of those thoughts are. It's not necessarily in that you've got to be able to just, all right, today I got to start believing that. the rest of the story on this one was, just writing this out makes me know that putting some space and realizing that I keep thinking the thoughts I'm not where I should be and I should have done different is a start, and perhaps a thought ladder is in order. Yeah, this is one of the things that, so she's writing down within her, like, this is, it's happened the way it's supposed to. I'm right where I should be. She keeps thinking I'm not where I should be and I should have done things different. That's not the start. I would say that for this one, is I'm not where I should be. I would just say the next thought is, this is where I'm at now. And I would break down where you're at now, where you had the facts. Probably what's happening is you have a lot of thoughts about where you are. So I would write down, this is what happened, facts only. Only the facts. And then just say, here's where I'm at. The neutral facts of this story are, and I would live with it just being neutral for a while. I wouldn't try to go to feeling better about it. I would just try to sanitize it from all of your thinking and judgment. The other is, I should have done things differently. The thought could just be, these are the things that I did, and you want to get those neutral. I said these words. I did these things, and take all your judgments out so that your brain can get removed of all the extra inflammatory emotions around it. And it can just get to where you know what happened. So that if you were like, you know, there is a little regret there. Sometimes I think I wish I could have done things differently, but here's where we are today. And where are we going in the future? That's how you start neutralizing stories and taking it down a notch. She says, I'm afraid the past will repeat and I won't change. So if you're afraid the past, like, here's the thing. Beating yourself up over the past, not only does it not change the past, it literally doesn't change the future either. It keeps you stuck. That's all that really happens when we beat ourselves up over stuff. You're not letting yourself off the hook, but what you can do is you can start looking at things to say, like, I want to, like, there's no reason to be afraid that I'll do this again. What I could be doing is sitting around and thinking, who do I want to be in the future? And start thinking more about that, about who I want to be. Because the more we think about who we don't want to be, the more likely we are to recreate that. And we recreate those things by accident. And when we think, when we're really obsessed over who we don't want to be, let's say you don't recreate that version, that doesn't mean you create the version you want. There's all kinds of things that you could do. You could just recreate another version of something that you don't want either, because you never decided who you wanted to be going forward based on what you know now about who you do and don't want to be. That's where the power comes in. So thinking about, who do I want to be in the future? Like, maybe my regret is trying to say, like, rather than I should have done things differently, how about in the future, if anything like this ever were to happen again, here's how I would love for me to show up. And give your brain clear direction on that. And that's how you handle that. Someone said, do you reread your journal entries or use it as a release of drama or bad thoughts? It just depends. Sometimes I reread them to get information and stuff. Sometimes I don't. Most of the time, I don't reread my stuff. The vast majority of the time, I just work through my shit. I just write some stuff down. Sometimes I come up with better thinking. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes I just like to verbal vomit my doo-doo on the page. And I just feel better. I'm like, all right, I got all that out of my head. And usually what I do is I don't go back and read it and stuff. I usually get out whatever it is I'm thinking that's, you know, just naturally in there. And guys, I have just as many doo-doo thoughts as anybody. I write it down and I don't specifically look at every sentence, but I just say, like, all right, I'm glad I got all that out of my head today. Now, what do I need to get done today? How do I want to think and feel about that? How do I want to show up for myself today? I start just transitioning that. For me, there's so much relief in just getting out my thinking and just saying like, and that's all just what my brain has going on today. None of it's true. It's just the stuff. Every now and then I'll write something down and be like, yeah, like that one I really want to think differently today about. I'm so glad I wrote it down. That's how I journal. And that's the mindset that I have about journaling. And that keeps me journaling. That keeps me being on to my thoughts. It's my thinking about my thinking. Okay. We're going to get out of here a few minutes early today because I've got to go get some shoes on. I got to get my directions loaded and I got to go get my COVID shot. So I'm super excited. So I'm going to end about 8 minutes early today. Guys, y'all have a good one. Don't forget, the free challenge is up and running for people who are not members. You do not need to join it. But if you want to share it on your social, I will love you forever. I promise. No, just show it. You can share it on your social. You can tell your friends to make sure that they go and they join it. If they go to any of my pages, they'll be able to find the link. And we'll drop the link here inside of your inside of the chat too. So if you're listening to this on the replay, whoever writes up the notes for this Q&A, will you please put the link in just so that they will get it. Other than that, guys, y'all have a good one and I will talk to you later. Bye, y'all.